ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, entitled The Remembrance of Lord Krishna, Text 26. ततः नन्दव्रजम् इतः पित्रा कंसात् विबिभ्यता एकादश समाह तत्र गूढ अर्चिः सबलः अवसत्। ततो नन्दव्रजमितः पित्रा कंसाद्विबिभ्यता एकादशसमास्तत्र गूढार्चिः स बलोऽवसत्। ततो नन्दो व्रजमितः पित्रा कंसाद्विबिभ्यता एकादश समास्तत्र गूढार्चिः स बलोऽवसत्। ततो नन्दव्रजम् इतः पित्रा कंसाद्विबिभ्यता एकादश समास्तत्र गूढार्चिः स बलोऽवसत्। एकादश समास्तत्र आहार्चिः स बलोऽवसत्। व्रजमितः पित्रा कंसाद्विबिभ्यता एकादश समास्तत्र गूढार्चिः स बलोऽवसत्। ततो नन्दव्रजमितः पित्रा कंसाद्विबिभ्यता एकादश समास्तत्र गूढार्चिः स बलोऽवसत्।
माताजी, लेडीज,
मितः
पित्रा कंसाद् विभ्यता एकादश समास्तत्र गूढ़ाचिः सबलो वसात् ततो नन्द व्रजम् इतः पित्रा कंसाद् विभ्यता एकादश समास्तत्र गूढ़ाचिः सबलो वसत् नन्द व्रजमितः पित्रा कंसाद् विभ्यता
ततः thereafter Nanda Vrajam, cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj, Itaha, being brought up, Pitra, by his father, Kamsat, from Kamsa, Vibhibhyata, being afraid of, Ekadasha, 11, Samaha, years, तत्र देर इन गूढ अर्चिहि कवर्ड फायर स बलह विथ बलदेव अवसत रिसाइडेड. ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद. ट्रांसलेशन देर आफ्टर हिज फादर बीइंग अफ्रेड ऑफ कंसा brought him to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda, and there he lived for 11 years, like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. Purport. There was no necessity of the Lord's being dispatched to the house of Nanda Maharaj out of fear of Kansa's determination to kill him as soon as he appeared. It is the business of the asuras to try to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to prove by all means that there is no God, or that Krishna is an ordinary human being and not God. Lord Krishna is not affected by such determination of men of Kamsa's class, but in order to play the role of a child, he agreed to be carried by his father to the cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj because Vasudev was afraid of Kamsa. Nanda Maharaj was due to receive him as a child, as his child, and Yashoda Mai was also to enjoy the childhood pastimes of the Lord. And therefore, to fulfill everyone's desire, he was carried from Mathura to Vrindavan just after his appearance in the prison house of Kamsa. He lived there for 11 years and completed all his fascinating pastimes of childhood, boyhood and adolescence with his elder brother, Lord Baladev. His first expansion. Vasudev's thought of protecting Krishna from the wrath of Kamsa is a part of a transcendental relationship. The Lord enjoys more when someone takes him as his subordinate son who needs the protection of a father than he does when someone accepts him as the Supreme Lord. He is the father of everyone and he protects everyone. But when his devotee takes it for granted that the Lord is to be protected by the devotee's care, it is a transcendental joy for the Lord. Thus, when Vasudev, out of fear of Kamsa, carried him to Vrindavan, the Lord enjoyed it. Otherwise, he had no fear from Kamsa or anyone else. Kindly repeat the translation. Thereafter, his father, being afraid of Kamsa, brought him to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda, and there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Spapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvashe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Uddhav, in this wonderful narration of his nostalgic memories of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, is beginning with Krishna's appearance, and he will go on into Vrindavan and then Mathura and then Dwarka. He will narrate in very brief the entire pastimes, the life periods of Krishna as he manifested himself here 5,000 years ago. In this verse, Uddhav's narration leads us to Vrindavan. Yesterday we saw that he was just born. Krishna just appeared as a son of Mother Devaki and Vasudev in the prison of Kamsa. And now, Uddhava says, Pitra Kansad Vibhyata. Pitra means the father, that is Vasudev. Kansad, of Kansa, Vibhyata. He was extremely afraid. And because of that extreme fear, Tataha Nanda Vrajam Itaha. Tataha means thereafter, after his birth. Out of great fear of Kansa, because Kansa had already killed 6 children before this. So out of great fear, he transferred his 8th child to Nanda Vrajam, to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda. And here in Vrindavan, Ekadasha Samaha Tatra. Ekadasha means 11, Samaha means years, Tatra. So Krishna, after having been brought here by his father Vasudev, lived here for 11 years. Gurha Archihi Sabalaha Vasat Avasat. Gurha Archihi means like a covered flame. Why is this said? Because Krishna did not reveal his entire strength, his potencies. Krishna was only once in a while killing an asura here, an asura there, swallowing a forest fire here, doing some extraordinary activity here and there. But by and large, even these extraordinary activities are not even an infinitesimal portion of Krishna's actual power, which is unlimited. So just like a flame may have a lot of power, but when you cover it, that power is not visible, that heat, the light is not visible or perceivable. Similarly, Krishna, because he was playing as an ordinary cowherd boy in Vrindavan, much of his potency was not exhibited at all times. And even when he exhibited, it was just a fraction of what his actual powers. So therefore the word Gudha Archihi. So when it says here Ekadasha Samaha, This is one of the only places I know. Someone may correct me if I'm wrong, but the exact statement of the time that Krishna lived in Vrindavan, I don't know if there's any other reference in Srimad Bhagavatam where it so clearly says the time period in which Krishna stayed in Vrindavan. So this is clear evidence here for us, Ekadasha Samaha, that Krishna stayed here in Vrindavan for 11 years. Now generally, by ordinary classification of age for human beings, there are some classifications till the age of youth is reached. Childhood, that is from birth to the age of 5, is called Kaumara. Then boyhood, which is from the age of 6 to the age of 10, is called Pauganda. And then adolescence or pre-youth, from the age of 11 to 15, is called Kaishora. And then 16 onwards is youth. This is generally how age is classified amongst in the human society for up till the point of youth. Now when Krishna was in Mathura, he moved from Vrindavan to Mathura. He killed Kamsa, Charnur, Mushtik, etc. And when this awesome power of Krishna was exhibited, Nanda and Vasudev and Devaki, who were also present there, were awestruck. Because Krishna and Balaram looked just like tender little boys and delicate boys. But somehow or other they exhibited such fierce power that they killed Kansa and all these huge mountain-like wrestlers. They killed Kuvalyapida, the mad elephant who was so powerful. So now Vasudev and Devaki were beginning to think of their sons as God. And Krishna and Balaram did not like that. So therefore in the 10th canto, the beginning of the 45th chapter, immediately after Kansa was killed, then Krishna approaches his mother and father and says, Nasmatto yuvayostata nitya utkanthita yorapi balya pauganda kaishoraha putrabhyam abhavan kvachit. He says, my dear mother and father, both of you, yuvayoho, have been put into much anxiety, eternal, permanent anxiety by us, nitya utkanthita yorapi, because of us, asmattaha. And for what reason? The reason is that although we are your sons, you could not enjoy any of our activities in balya, pauganda and kaishora. In childhood, boyhood and adolescence, you were deprived. Generally, the most joyful time for a parent in relationship with a child is in these younger days. Because when the child grows up, then the child is on his or her own, and there's really not much the parents can do about the child anyway. So in this period especially, and the younger the child is, the more the joy the parent derives. And these were the precise periods that Vasudev and Devaki were deprived of as far as Krishna's age was concerned. So then Krishna is making a statement here that Balya, Pauganda and Kishore, all three ages, my dear mother and father, you were deprived of. Now, in this verse today we are told Ekadasha Samaha, that he spent only 11 years in Vrindavan, which means, as per ordinary classification of age, he should have just begun his Kishore, Kaishore avas, his age. So why is Krishna saying to Mother Devaki and Vasudev that you could not enjoy my Kaishore pastimes? Because he was very much a Kishore according to worldly classification. So in the purport to that verse, it is explained, quoting a commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that actually Krishna ages or appears to grow much faster than ordinary people. And Chakravarti Pad explains that this is not something surprising, because It is explained also in Krishna's childhood pastimes that very soon after Krishna was born, or Krishna appeared and he was crawling, very shortly thereafter he started walking without the need to crawl. I do not know precisely how long it takes for a human child to start walking, maybe 1 year or 1.5 years, I don't know, something like that. But Krishna Balaram started walking much before the normal children of this world start walking after they are born. Chakravarti Pad also gives the example that sometimes the son of a king, he may even in his Pauganda age become really robust and strong and exhibit the physique and the abilities of a boy in Kaishora age, in the adolescence age. Certain exceptional personalities grow and mature faster than their peers or their contemporaries. Great personalities, it often happens like this. This is also explained in the Padma Purana, that great personalities mature 1.5 times faster. So then why is it surprising if Krishna also matures faster? So Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that actually Krishna lived in Vrindavan, in Gokul Mahavan, after he was brought there, for 3 years and 4 months. And here he ended his Balya Avastha, his Kaumara stage, his childhood stage. Sometime earlier, normally it should have ended at the age of 5. But for Krishna, it ended at the age of 3 years and 4 months. Now generally, this is the age where the parents' love for the child is the greatest, where the mellow of Vatsalya is the greatest, because the child is completely dependent on the parent. You see, as a child starts growing, he becomes more and more independent of the parents. And therefore, that taste and that mellow also reduces a little bit. So also we can see that when a devotee is thoroughly dependent on the Lord, then that also brings about a mellow or a taste that is extraordinary, rather than lukewarm or half-hearted devotion. So anyway, because at this stage in childhood, the child is completely dependent on the parents, and here Krishna, imitating the ways of human society, was also behaving like an ordinary child. So this was the phase in Gokul Mahavan where Krishna and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and the elderly gopas and gopis exchanged the particular mellow of Vatsalya. The elderly gopas and gopis thought of Krishna as only a small child. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda in particular thought of Krishna as their own child, as their son. And this mellow, this rasa was exchanged. At 3 years and 4 months, the Brajabasis moved. They came to Vrindavan. And they lived here for another 3 years and 4 months. And this was the period of Krishna's Pauganda. That means his boyhood. Now generally when a young boy, he enters into his 6th year, he starts going to school, then he discovers his friends, and he starts playing with them, and his earlier dependence on his parents is somewhat reduced, because now he has other people he can relate to, and he is busy spending time with them, and the parents have a hard time bringing him back home and so on. So this is a time in Vrindavan, in his Pauganda age, starting from 3 years and 4 months of age, that Krishna frolicked with the cowherd boys here in Ramandreti, and he had enjoyed so many pastimes of the Sakhyaras. So this he enjoyed at this period for 3 years and 4 months. And his Pauganda, which by normal human calculation should have ended at 10 years, actually ended at 6 years and 8 months. So he matured faster. He reached the end of his Kaumara Avastha, his Pauganda Avastha, Pauganda age, a couple of years earlier. Now, when a boy reaches puberty, then he has been usually accustomed to playing with his boyfriends. Now he starts discovering the opposite sex. He starts growing up and discovering that the world has other fascinating things to offer. And so, Krishna also imitating the ways, he enters his Kaishoravastha. And this is the time when the Brajavasis move to Nandagram. And in Nandagram, the speciality is that Krishna was enjoying the Madhuri Ras, the Shringar Ras. And that's when he was going out with the gopis and had many, many wonderful pastimes with the gopis. And that went on also till the age of 10 years and 7 months. So normally, the Kaishora period should have ended at the age of 15. But for Krishna, it ended at the age of 10 years and 7 months. So you can see it's approximately the same as the Padma Puran says. It's almost like 1.5 times, you know, faster he matured. So therefore, when Krishna left Vrindavan to come to Mathura, at least externally, he was 10 years and 7 months old. Here it says Ekadasha, 11 years. It's approximately that, 10 years and 7 months, more or less the same. He left here, I think it was in the Krishna Paksha of the month of Chaitra. That was a dark fortnight of the month of Chaitra. He left from Vrindavan, went to Mathura, and 14 days thereafter he killed Kansa. And then that verse, which I just quoted, was spoken on that day, very shortly thereafter, after killing Kamsa. So when Krishna spoke this verse to Vasudeva and Devaki, although he was a little under 11 years at that time, but factually he had completed his Komara, his Kaishora stage. So then here the contradiction is resolved. In this way, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has very nicely explained the age, how Krishna spent his 11 years over here in Brajabhumi before he left for Mathura. And in Mathura he stayed, of course, roughly till the age of 28. And then he went to Dwarka. He stayed another approximately 96 years in Dwarka till his age of 125. So now Uddhav is remembering Krishna's association a lot. Although Vrindavan has its own unique place as far as the mood of Krishna consciousness is concerned, because of its sweetness and intensity, even though Krishna lived here for the shortest period amongst the three dhams, but still this is the most intense, the topmost. But nevertheless, we shouldn't think that Uddhav's devotion was ordinary. We must also remember that Uddhav spent also 96 years with Krishna. It's not easy to forget somebody if you live with that person for a long, long time and intimately associate with that person. We see that normally also when a dear one, a near one passes away, and especially after that person has been with us for a long time, 50 years, 60 years, it's very difficult because one keeps remembering, oh, I was with this person for such a long time and this happened, these activities were performed. So Uddhav, even though his stage of devotion may not be exactly in the category of the Brajabasis, but he was very, very exalted. And furthermore, he lived for almost a century with Krishna, always intimately associating with him. He was Krishna's cousin, Krishna's friend, Krishna's counselor. He was everywhere wherever Krishna wanted him. So therefore, the fact that Uddhava is reminiscing in this way is not surprising. These are very deep feelings that Uddhava is stating at the request of Vidura. Here also it is said, in Prabhupada's purport, he begins by saying that there was no necessity of the Lord's being dispatched to the house of Nanda Maharaj out of fear of Kamsa's determination to kill him. Yes, that is a fact. Because why should Krishna be afraid of anyone? In fact, everyone else is afraid of Krishna. Even Kamsa. It wasn't Krishna who was afraid of Kamsa. It was Kamsa who was afraid of Krishna. We see that When Kamsa got reports that Krishna was killing asuras one after the other, just as child's play, literally, then he became more and more fearful, and a stage came when he was completely terrified, and day in and day out, 24 hours a day, only fear occupied his consciousness. Even sleeping, eating, standing, walking, Shukadeva Goswami describes, he was just thinking of Krishna. He was seeing all kinds of terrible dreams, you know, headless bodies appearing in his dreams. He was thinking, he was seeing all inauspicious omens. And when he would look into the water to drink, and he would see his own reflection without his head. And he went into complete fear. So it wasn't Krishna who was afraid. Kamsa, even though he was so powerful, he was terrified. And Krishna was not bothered. He was happy-go-lucky enjoying himself in Vrindavan. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, but when he heard Narsingadev's roar, he became so terrified. So in this way, Krishna didn't come here out of fear of Kamsa, but only because Vasudeva was afraid. Can you please switch off the mobiles, whoever has? It disturbs the train of thought. In the Shastra also, it is said, Bhishasmad vatah pavate, Bhishodeti suryah, Bhishasmad agnischandrascha, Mrityurdhavati panchamaha. That everything is afraid of Krishna. Bhishasmad vatah pavate. The wind is blowing out of fear of Krishna. Bhishodeti suryah. Sun is shining and giving heat and light out of fear of Krishna. Bhishasmat agnischandrascha. So even the fire is doing its job, the moonlight is cooling, all because of fear of Krishna, because they are supposed to do that. And also even death personified is chasing everyone out of fear of Krishna. So there is no way that Krishna can be afraid of anything. But because Vasudeva was afraid of Krishna, why was Vasudeva, of Kamsa, I beg your pardon, and why was Vasudeva afraid of Kamsa? Because he was protective about Krishna. And Krishna enjoyed that protective feeling, as Prabhupada explains here in the purport. The Lord enjoys more when someone takes him as his subordinate son who needs the protection of a father. So the fact that Vasudeva was afraid of Kamsa means that Vasudeva was in the mood of protecting Krishna. He didn't think that Krishna was capable enough of protecting himself. So therefore, in order to reciprocate with Vasudeva's feeling, Krishna also agreed. Yes, yes, okay, you carry me there. And the second point that Prabhupada mentions in the purport about why Krishna agreed to go like this is, Lord Krishna is not affected by such determination of men of Kamsa's class, but in order to play the role of a child, he agreed to be carried by his father to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda. Nanda Maharaj was due to receive him as his child, and Yashoda Mai was also to enjoy the childhood pastimes of the Lord. And therefore, to fulfill everyone's desire, he was carried from Mathura to Vrindavan. So therefore, Krishna enjoys this feeling that his devotee is protecting him. And he submits himself to that particular mood. Inasmuch as an actor in a drama becomes so absorbed in the role that he's playing that he forgets his own real identity and he becomes, so to speak, that role. Kunti Maharani, in her prayers, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, also says, Maya javani kachannam agnya dhokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudhadrisha nato natyat dharo yatha. She says, my dear Lord, those who are ignorant, their eyes are covered by the curtain of your deluding energy. Maya javanika. Javanika means curtain. Achanna means to cover. Agya. So all those who are agya, who are ignorant, are covered, their eyes are covered by your Maya Shakti. And therefore they do not understand. Na lakshase mudhadrisha. They cannot see you. These foolish people cannot see you. You who are dressed as an actor on the stage. Nataha. Natyadharaha. Nataha means an actor. Natyadharaha means he has taken on the costumes perhaps of a king or something like that. So sometimes a person may not be able to recognize the identity of a person who is in disguise on the stage. But someone who knows that person very well will immediately recognize, oh, even though he has a beard and a turban, but this is so and so, my good friend. So in this way, Krishna is the transcendental actor, enacting these wonderful pastimes on the stage of the spiritual realm, which he brings down to the material world to enact his pastimes. He likes this feeling of being protected, of being subordinate. He relishes it. Why? Because Krishna's dealings with his devotees are full of nectar, of rasa, of mellow. Krishna is rasa swarupa. He is the embodiment of rasa or transcendental mellow. Raso vai saha. Krishna is a reservoir of this transcendental rasa of love. And he wants to exchange this with his devotees. So he's called Rasika Shekhar, Rasaraj. So many names there are of Krishna like this. So Krishna's only business, really speaking, is to enjoy this transcendental rasa and exchange it with his devotees. Factually, he has no other business. This is what God is. God in his original situation. That's what he wants to do. And maintaining the material world and all that, that is for his expansions. So everything that Krishna does is ultimately to facilitate and nourish the various rasas that he's exchanging with his devotees. So now in his Kaumara Avastha, in his childhood state, he wants to now relish the Vatsalya Ras. Therefore he has to do whatever is necessary to nourish that rasa. Therefore, since Vasudev is in that mood, he agrees, he cooperates, Krishna cooperates. And also, as Prabhupada points out, there all the Brajabasis are waiting. Of course, they don't know that they are waiting for this, but from Krishna's point of view, they are destined to have that great transcendental privilege and ecstasy of participating in Krishna's childhood pastimes there. So Krishna is making the preparation for that rasa, for exchanging that. And Krishna is not ordinarily just participating in these pastimes. He is plunging into it in his whole heart, with his whole heart and his mood. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna performs human-like pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura and also in Dwarka. But what is the difference? The difference is that in Vrindavan, Krishna's knowledge of himself as God is covered. In Mathura and Dwarka, Krishna is fully aware of his divinity at all times. But in Vrindavan, there is a big question. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asks, in Vrindavan, is Krishna aware that he is God? And then he proceeds to answer the question himself. And he says, if he is aware, then he would not have had pastimes like Mother Yashoda tying him with a rope, Mother Yashoda chasing him with a stick, and he being afraid of Mother Yashoda. On the other hand, if it is make-believe that he was just faking all these pastimes, just acting, simply acting, then this verdict is not the verdict of the Rasika Bhaktas, the real recognized, you know, the authorized devotees. They don't agree with this. And if it is so that Krishna was faking the fear and so on, why would great devotees like Kunti Maharani in the Srimad Bhagavatam say, sa mam vimohayati, that I am bewildered to see that you, of whom fear personified is afraid, you are actually afraid of your mother. Why would Kunti Maharani be bewildered? So no, it can't be. Krishna is not faking. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that actually, because Krishna wants to relish rasa, he wants to taste this mood of Vrindavan with his devotees here. So he submits himself to the control of his Leela Shakti, of his Prema Shakti. His Prema overwhelms him. His knowledge or Jnana of himself. And he completely becomes a boy, a small child in Mother Yashoda's hands. He gives himself up completely. So therefore, Krishna's fear of Mother Yashoda is not make-believe. In one sense you can say he's acting, but in another sense we can say he's not, because he's so completely absorbed in that role that he completely identifies with that. One time I heard, I don't know how true this is, but somebody mentioned that there was a very nice cinema, a movie of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this person told me that the actor who acted as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he took sannyas in that pastime and that whole movie, that he was so affected by that movie that he eventually, after the movie was over, he himself took sannyas. And many times you also see that when an actor gets completely absorbed, he forgets his own identity. So similarly, when Krishna gets absorbed in his pastimes, he completely forgets that he is the Lord. And he completely identifies with Mother Yashoda as his mother, with Nanda Maharaj as his father, and with all the gopas as his, younger gopas as his friends, and so on. In this way, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, enjoys in the spiritual world. And that same mood, those same pastimes, Krishna also brings down here in Bhoma Vrindavan, in that same Vrindavan that is manifested on the terrestrial plane, just for the benefit of all of us here in this world. So this is a very, very wonderful thing. And Krishna, having enjoyed these pastimes, he's trying to facilitate everyone. He enjoys that feeling of being subordinate. Actually, it's a fact, because being subordinate is always a happier position than being the protector. And Krishna doesn't like so much being the protector, although he does it out of love, because he's Bhakta Vatsala. The devotees are very dear to him. He's very kind to his devotees. So he does it. But he would rather be under the protection of his devotees. He would rather be subordinate to his devotees. He likes to be subordinate even to the gopis. What to speak of his parents. So this is Krishna's mood, a very significant verse here for us. And also it is said here that Krishna, Balaram's name is also mentioned. So Krishna was always there with the Brajabasis, with his brother, his mother, his father. And in this way, he performed his transcendental pastimes for his own pleasure and for the increasing pleasure of all the devotees, not only at that time in Vrindavan, but for all time to come. So these are very beautiful passages here in this section. These deep realized memories and narrations of Uddhav, we can benefit very greatly by imbibing Uddhav's mood here. So we'll stop here. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, can someone have the mic there, please?
Your Grace, my question is, Lord Krishna killed Kamsa nearly at the age of 12. Why did it take such a long time to kill such a person who was so dangerous to denizens in his kingdom? when he, Lord Krishna had already displayed many extraordinary great feats like lifting up Govardhan and many others. Why did it take such a long time?
Well, in Krishna's pastimes, everything has its own sequence. Everything has its own timetable. And the time had not yet come for Krishna to go to Mathura. Because if Kamsa had to be killed, then Krishna would have had to go to Mathura, which he did eventually. But that time was only till Krishna had finished his Kaishora. Because Krishna had to enjoy his Kaishora stage of life here in Vrindavan, not in Mathura. So then only when Krishna's Kishor Avastha, his Kishore stage of life, his adolescent stage was over, and now that he had enjoyed his pastimes in the Madhuri Ras, Shringar Ras, then he was free now to go to Mathura. Now he was ready to kill Kamsa. Any other points? Yes, someone with the mic there, please.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And if Vasudeva was so protective of Krishna, so why did Krishna say that, and that they couldn't relish Baal Leela and Kaishor Leela? And Vasudeva was so protective of Krishna, so he has some deep relationship with Krishna. So why did Krishna say, you couldn't relish my Baal Leela? How is this possible?
Well, actually the fact is that as soon as Krishna appeared from the womb of Mother Devaki, there was just a short exchange. Vasudeva and Devaki prayed to Krishna, who was in his four-armed form. Krishna spoke a few words to them, gave them some instructions, reminded them about their previous lives, and then he left. He was taken to Gokul. So they didn't get much of his association at all. In fact, there was hardly any time that that Vasudeva and Devaki could spend with Krishna. And thereafter, they saw him straight here, after 11 years. So therefore they could not enjoy the childhood pastimes of Krishna. They just saw him as a newly born child and then he was gone. So that's why Krishna is saying to his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, that it's so unfortunate that because of us you were put into anxiety. Us means Krishna and Balaram. That you could not enjoy our childhood pastimes, our boyhood pastimes, our adolescent pastimes. Okay. Any other? Who has a question? Yes.
You told that when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he had no knowledge that he was God. But it bewilders me that when in Brahmand Ghat, Krishna was showing the whole universe in his mouth. At that time, but he was not aware of that he is God. When he saw spiritual world to Vrajavasis at that time also.
Well, time to time, Krishna just peep out from the covering. He just makes a little peep and comes back inside. But basically, he is completely he submits himself voluntarily under the spell of his Yogamaya Shakti. Of his Leela Shakti actually. But yes, there is no conflict here. Krishna is not under the control of the Leela Shakti like the conditioned souls are under the control of Mahamaya. See, so Krishna is still in control. But his energies are cooperating for his pleasure. This is going on simply so that Krishna and his devotees can have more pleasure. So Krishna can, time to time, just come out of it and reveal some extraordinary activity, and his Swarupa Jnana also can be manifested at that time. Yes, that's a fact that the time when Krishna showed his universal form, he obviously knew. So Krishna is not in ignorance in the way that the conditioned soul is in ignorance. But he just subdues it, he suppresses that. He just ignores that. Because he also wants to be in that mood that his devotees are. Just as Yashoda, Mother Yashoda also, she knows that Krishna is God. Nanda Maharaj, no. Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, it is not that because Madhurya is present, it means that there is no Aishwarya Gyan there. But the meaning of Madhurya is that the Madhurya is very, very strong even though there is Aishwarya Gyan. He says, otherwise, what is the difference between Krishna's childhood pastimes and the pastimes of any ordinary child? So then they may know that he is God, but still it doesn't make a difference to them. It doesn't matter. They don't care. The gopis very clearly knew that Krishna is God. There are many shlokas like this which prove that. But they couldn't care less. For them, Krishna was their lover, was their beloved. So in the same way as the devotees are covered over, Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains, Krishna also likes himself to be to keep aside that thought of his own divinity. He would rather just be an ordinary boy in Vrindavan. That's his heart. He doesn't like being God. But what to do? He is God. So, but he doesn't like it so much. Maharaj, anything to add? Any comments? Okay, thank you very much. So we'll end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gopremanande.